Well, it is wonderful just to be able to gather together like this on Christmas Day. My name's Graham. I'm another one of the pastors here. And it's great to welcome you along for our celebration time this morning. A couple of announcements just of a practical nature. There were going to be some slides with Bible verses on, but somehow those didn't get through to the place that matters at the back. So there are Bibles around. You can pick up a Bible or look on your phones for Luke chapter 2 and see where we're at in the scriptures. The other thing is there are some colouring in sheets and so on for the younger ones just on the table just by the audio desk as well. So feel free to get up and grab some of those as well as you need. Christmas time. Sir Cliff Richard. Anyone know him? Anyone a fan? We love each other here. You can be open. Anyone not a fan? Well, hopefully by the end of this, you will all be fans. Cliff Richard loves Jesus. He's a Christian. He's also a sir, and he's also a very successful musician. So here's a few facts. Only the Beatles and Elvis Presley have sold more singles in the UK ever than Sir Cliff. And only Cliff has had number one hit songs in the UK pop charts in 5 successive decades. That's pretty good going, isn't it? And some of those songs were Christmas number ones. And one of those Christmas number ones is a song all about Jesus. So I reckon that's a spectacular effort, don't you? To get that to number one in the UK at Christmas time. And it's a song about the Saviour. His song goes like this: we're waiting for the Saviour's day. And actually, we don't need to wait that long, do we? Christmas comes around pretty quick, really, particularly as you get older. It seems to come around ever, ever quicker, doesn't it? But think about these senior age characters that we read about in Luke chapter 2, Simeon and Anna. That's what they've been doing. They'd been waiting for the Saviour's day their whole lives. Looking forward to something huge. Expectant. Looking forward to something that would make all of their devotion, instead of appearing to be a little bit strange, a bit over the top, maybe a lot over the top, actually make it seem like the least that they could do. Our big idea this morning is this: look forward to Jesus appearing. As we look at Simeon and Anna from the distance of 2,000 years later and consider them, let's see, firstly, it was a day like any other. A day like any other. You can imagine it as you read through Luke chapter 2. Business as usual in the temple, busy time, probably a bit like today, as I said in the kids' talk. Various things going on, but one of those things would be parents of firstborn boys coming to the temple, obeying the requirement for those boys to be presented to the Lord at the temple. And so as Mary and Joseph make their way in to the temple with baby Jesus, suddenly this old man, he's suddenly there. Is he the welcomer? Well, he's got a bit more to say than that, hasn't he? Attaches himself to Mary and Joseph and their child. Is that a bit strange? And then an old woman following him. When we lived in the city of Hull in England, where we had our daughters Alice and Rosie, we didn't have to have been long in a shop down Newland Avenue where we were, where usually an older woman would come up, look in the pram, and she'd say, "Ah, look at your baby. She's right cute. Ain't she?" With a wonderful, beautiful accent, that is. It's not unusual for that sort of thing to happen, is it? It'll happen a bit this morning if you've got a baby with you, I'm sure. They create a bit of a stir. But these two, Simeon and Anna, it seems they already know about this baby, don't they? And they say the most extraordinary things about this baby. Simeon says out loud, verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised," he's got the babe in his arms, "you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Oh, can I take my baby back now? It's an astonishing thing to say. This day, like any other, had just become Saviour's Day, hadn't it? It's our second point. The day that Simeon has been waiting for. The day when he sees the Saviour. The day after which his life can just end in peace. Happy days. I think it's very easy to reflect on this scene with our view coloured by our own society and perhaps our own sentimentality, thinking of it to be a bit sort of soft focus, a bit of a melting moment of the grandparently kind. Simeon's time, pretty full on. Palestine in 4 BC would be closer to the situation in Ukraine than it is to our situation. With Russia flexing on Ukraine, Roman oppression hung in the air, flavoured with more than a hint of revolution among the people of Israel. And look at what Luke says about Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. I hear that word consolation, I think consolation prize. You know, that's the one that you get just to make you feel a bit better, isn't it? It's not really meaning that. It's a much stronger thing going on there. This is about comfort in place of despair, in place of actual despair. This is about change for the better in place of hopelessness. And he was waiting for this because he knew his Bible and also because God, in his kindness, had revealed to him that he would see the Saviour. And God, the Holy Spirit, ensured he didn't miss the moment. And that right there is what Christmas is about. That's the magic of Christmas, if I can use that term. God revealing himself and his plans for the whole world to people just like us on a day just like any other. For Simeon, this day, like any other, became the Saviour's day when he saw Jesus. His hope was confirmed. He was dismissed in peace because of Jesus. He knew then that whatever happened next, ultimately, it wasn't just going to be okay. It was going to be great. It would be tempting again for us to think of Simeon now looking back to that moment he saw Jesus. Oh, I remember the time and that was the best thing that ever happened and so on. Yes, happy-ish, but now it's the end. What's ahead? That's not what you get really in the sense of reading it. That's not making sense of what was said about this Jesus, is it? There's this acceptance of the near end of his life. It seems to say the opposite. And what about Anna? Verse 37, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Why on earth would you do that? But coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. For her, this Saviour's day was good news, a message to be shared. Because of Jesus, they could all look forward in hope and confidence. Simeon and Anna's eyes had seen God's salvation. But what about you and I today, on this Christmas day? Is today going to be a day like any other? Even a Christmas day like any other? Is that what's ahead for you today? Or will it be, can it be, Saviour's Day? Open your eyes on Saviour's Day. Final point. What are you looking forward to? Don't mean about today. What are you looking forward to as your life points in a certain direction? What is at the end of that direction? It's a very diagnostic question, really. In a society, certainly in our Western secular society, where it's up to you to invent your own meaning for your life and purpose, that what are you looking forward to is an uncomfortable question. Where is my life headed? Where am I going? As we think about it, certain realities loom large, don't they? The passing of time being probably the biggest one. age creeping in, the diminishing capacity to experience those things which once seemed so compelling and attractive. I felt that this year. Sport was enormously huge, still is really for me. I love it. I love participating. I love trying to improve. I love the challenge of technique. I was a twin, or I am a twin. Had to get to the other side of the world to deal with that competitive issue between us. He's in England. Turns out, though, my knees are stuffed. And they found an aneurysm behind one of them. And when I was a student, I used to have the aerobic capacity of an Olympic rower. For those who've done the bleep test, 17.2. Today I have the aerobic capacity of a squeezy bath toy and the squeak to go with it. These things can be addressed a little, and I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying. But it's ultimately a losing battle. It's going the other way for me. No longer at the days when I could just run a pretty quick half marathon, play back-to-back-to-back hockey matches, stuff like that. And that's where so many people end up, isn't it? At the end of their lives, staring at their end, looking back, nothing to look forward to. It's all in the past. Achievements, experiences, joys, pleasure, wealth, even relationships and family and loved ones move into the past. Are they the meaning or purpose of your life, any of those things? Or is the God from whom all of those many wonderful things come from and in whom they find their place? What about Him? See, He will always be in front. He will always be ahead. He will always be bigger, better, more lovely, more compelling, with more and greater and better things with Him forever. And that's why Simeon and Anna's message is a huge one, isn't it, for us today? They're looking forward for their whole lives. The focus of their looking was Jesus, God's salvation for all of the nations. And it seems certain they never got to see Jesus when He was a man, when He gave Himself on the cross, dying in the place of sinners to take God's wrath against sin on Himself and away from us. They didn't get to hear about His resurrection from the dead, the most astonishing thing that's ever happened in the human history, or His ascension to the right hand of the Father in heaven. They didn't experience then the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all who put their trust in Jesus. And we look back to that. Jesus has done all of that, made all of that happen. But as we look back to that, here's how we know that Saviour's Day is ours today. Because we're now looking forward to what is better and to what is best even. Hebrews 9 verse 28, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. That's why He came at Christmas, ended up at Easter on the cross. He was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Are you waiting for that? Has that caught your attention today? The New Testament contains references to Christ coming again on average every 11 verses. It's huge. He's coming. And when He comes, it's going to be unimaginably great. And not only will it be the thing to look forward to, it's the only worthwhile thing to give meaning and purpose to your life. Look forward to Jesus appearing again. That's our big idea, because He's the Saviour. As Simeon puts it, Jesus, especially at Christmas, will reveal the hearts of many. As Cliff Richard sings it, open your eyes on Saviour's Day. Don't look back or turn away. Life can be yours if you'll only stay. He is calling. This is a Christmas number one in the UK. Jesus is calling you. Calling you on the Saviour's day. Here's to the God of the present. Here's to the God of the past. Here's to the hope in the future he brings. We will sing to him. Sing to him on the Saviour's day. How about we sing to him on the Saviour's day? If the musos can join me up here. And we're going to sing one of the songs that we love most, I think, aren't we? Oh, Holy Night. It is that, isn't it? Yeah. Please stand.